Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the second Sunday of Easter comes from our gospel reading of John. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the door was locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thus far the text. He is risen. Then why do we doubt? If Christ is risen, then why do we doubt? If Christ is risen, then why is this church full of a bunch of Thomases? It makes no sense. If the God who became man, who was crucified, died and was buried, is resurrected from the grave, just like he said he would be, then why do we doubt? But Pastor, you say, it was so much easier for Thomas and the other disciples. They saw the risen Christ. They were able to touch him, place their hands in the nail marks. There was nothing to keep them from believing. But we haven't seen the risen Christ. Of course it's harder for us to believe, to be steadfast, to not doubt. And that's a fair point. But doesn't Jesus say that you're one of the blessed ones? Doesn't he admonish Thomas for having to see the risen Christ before he would believe in his words? Doesn't he say that you are blessed because even though you have not seen, you still believe? Is this not you? Is Jesus talking about someone else? When I look into my own sinful flesh, stare face to face in the mirror with that old Adam looking back at me with those doubting eyes and that sinful smirk, I have to admit that Jesus can't be talking about me. Thomas had it right. Dead men don't rise from the dead. I've done far too many funerals to know that even before the coffin is closed shut, death has already won. I know about the finality of death. I feel the weight of death. The weight that pulls and tugs upon those who are still alive, upon friends and family and congregations. And I understand just as much as you do, just as much as Thomas did, that death is an enemy far too great to be conquered. So yeah, chalk me up with the doubter. Because truth be told, Jesus' words seem far too outlandish. And I'm not even talking anymore about the death and resurrection sort of stuff. I'm talking about the simple day-to-day things. God has made me, my eyes and ears and all of my senses and my members. He still takes care of them. But these members of mine, this temporal body that's falling apart, screams against this seemingly foolish promise of God that he still takes care of me. You've probably seen it. I've been limping around here all service because somehow 41 now means that I'm old. And I've somehow pulled something in my foot that I didn't even know existed. And now I can't even walk without discomfort. And somehow, I'm so much like Thomas that even this small little pain in my foot causes me to doubt the promises of God. And if such a small discomfort can cause me to doubt like I do, then certainly Jesus can't be talking about me as one of those blessed ones. And tack on to that, all of life's never-ending questions about tomorrow. COVID has ruled my life and the lives of every single person on this planet for over a year, and the fear is impossible to overcome. Am I going to get COVID? What if I or one of my loved ones dies from it? What if I get the vaccine and have a terrible reaction? What if the vaccines don't even work? What if the government is just as clueless as I am? And they are. About when or if life will ever get back to normal. What if Russia starts war with the Ukraine? What if we go to war with Russia because of that? What if my religious liberties are taken away with the stroke of a pen? What if I wake up 20 years from now and the pews of this church are empty and we have to close down? What if I lose my job? What if I get hit by a bus? What if my wife gets cancer? What if my children stop coming to church? What if, what if, what if? Oh Lord, have mercy. I can't help but doubt. Because it seems to me that if Christ is risen, then I wouldn't have to deal with all of these things. That if Christ was risen from the dead, then everything would be okay. And if not okay, then at least if I had faith, and not that Thomas-like faith, but real, true faith in a risen Christ, the type of faith that Jesus is talking about in our text for today, then I wouldn't worry about all of the what-ifs in this world, because the what-ifs wouldn't matter. I do worry about the what-ifs. I can't stop worrying about them. That's what I do. That's who I am. And if that's who I am, then am I one of those blessed ones, or am I Thomas? And I know that all of this worrying and wondering and doubting is sinful. I know that it's an affront to my God, that it breaks the first commandment. I know that I shouldn't do these things, but I do. And if I do them, then what does that mean for me? Do I have faith? Do I really believe in the risen Christ and what he means for me? And then with all of that doubting, what does that say about my sin? Is it forgiven? Can it be? Can the cross be for me? Can the empty tomb be for the doubter? Can the risen Christ be for me if I have all of this unbelief, if I'm no better than Thomas? Maybe you're in the same locked room as I am. You probably are. For I've yet to meet a man who does not doubt. And I've yet to meet a man who can permanently bury that old Adam firmly in the ground, never to come out again. I've never met another soul. I've never met another Christian whose faith never wavers, whose belief is always rock solid. So then where do we go? What do we do? Fellow Thomases, where is our hope and our comfort amidst all of this doubt? The disciples were huddled in fear that first Easter morning. They had all heard about the accounts of the women, about the empty tomb, and the angels proclaiming that Christ is risen. They even heard Mary Magdalene tell them that she had seen the risen Christ with her own eyes and that they should go to Galilee because he was going to be waiting there for them. But there they were, locked behind closed doors, not able to believe in such idle tales. So let's not look to the disciples for a source of inspiration. Their faith was apparently no better than ours. Jesus, he doesn't wait for the disciples to come and find him in Galilee. They were never going to come. They were never going to find the courage to leave that room and trust in Mary's words, and not even really Mary's words, in Jesus' own words. And so Jesus comes to them, like he always had, like he always would. He comes to them in the midst of that locked room. He comes to them in the midst of all of their fear that they would be the next one strung up on a cross, that they had followed a charlatan, that they were fools forever leaving their fishing nets, that death was still the Lord over everything, that their sin was still upon them, that the devil had won the day. Jesus comes to them in the midst of all of this, because in the midst of all of this, they can't come to him. They couldn't believe in him. They couldn't have faith in him. They couldn't not doubt. And I would like to be able to look into my own soul and feel a sense of comfort and hope. And I would like to be able to calm my own troubled heart with a simple, "You're one of the blessed, Eli, for you've never seen the risen Christ, and yet you still believe." And I would love to be able to fight off all of the attacks of the devil, slough off any and all of his temptations to disbelieve, to doubt, to run and hide myself behind closed and locked doors, far away from the cross and the empty tomb and Jesus. But I can't. Show me the nail holes in his hands. I need to be able to peer through one side and then see the opposite side of the room through the other side of his hand. I need to be able to put my hands into that gaping, fleshy wound of his, right there in his side, in that place where the soldier drove that spear, right there where the water and the blood gushed out together out of that dead Jesus. I need to feel his body, not cold and dead, but warm, pulsing, and living. My eyes need to see it, and my hands need to touch it. You don't want me to doubt anymore? Then give me all of that. In and of myself, that's as good as it's going to get. In and of myself, I will never stop doubting, never stop disbelieving. In and of myself, the sin that is before me will always be preferable to his words. And the death that stares wide-eyed and dark and cold will always be more final than his words. And the devil that tempts me will always sound more rational than his word. In and of myself, a resurrected Jesus is only a silly pipe dream that can't do me any good because it's not real. Thanks be to God, it isn't in and of myself. Thanks be to God that Jesus doesn't cast doubters like Thomas and like me in the trash heap. Thanks be to God that he doesn't look at my fear and my trembling and my hiding behind locked rooms and say, well, I guess he wasn't strong enough. Off to find someone else who's worthy of me in my empty tomb. Thank God that none of that's true. It should be. It makes sense that that would be true. In fact, if I were in Jesus' shoes, that's how I would play out the game. But that's not how Jesus does this saving thing. Because he didn't die for a bunch of people who could work out their salvation. And he didn't allow himself to be sacrificed and crucified on that cross for the great saints of old, whoever they might be, who never once had a moment of doubt or unbelief. And he didn't burst out of the tomb for a bunch of people who could claw themselves through the dirt of their own graves. No, he was crucified and died and was buried for the Thomases of this world. He rose from the dead for the doubters, of which I am the greatest. So what about all of that blessed are they who have not seen and yet still believe business? What's that all about? Well, maybe we aren't blessed because we, in and of ourselves, are able to believe in the risen Christ and the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the victory over Satan. Maybe, just maybe, we're blessed because Jesus comes to us too. And then maybe that means Thomas is blessed and all the rest of the disciples as well. Maybe this blessing isn't some sort of extra jewel that we get a place in our crown and show off to everybody once we get to heaven. Maybe this blessing is Jesus. Jesus for you. Jesus coming to you. Maybe Jesus does the exact same thing for us 2021 Thomases that he did for that 33 AD Thomas. Maybe Jesus comes to us, and maybe he speaks his peace to us and forgives us of our doubting unbelief with real audible words of absolution that he's given to the church to speak in his stead. And maybe he gives us a new name, erasing that doubting moniker and replacing it with child of God. And maybe instead of having us place our hands into his flesh, he places his flesh into our mouth. Maybe this is the way of our Lord, that he comes to us in the midst of our sinful doubting, in the midst of our sinful dying, in the midst of the devil's temptations, And maybe, just maybe, we're blessed because of it. Because of him. Actually, there's no maybes about it. He's risen. In the name of Jesus.